Shear is sponsored by the Friends of David Wicksell in his memory. Le'ilui Nishmat David Ben Mordechai Shmuel Zichrono Livracha. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, the story of Moshe Rabbeinu's attempt to refuse the charge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, it kind of appears in the Torah in two sections. To us, I think today, it seems quite remarkable that anybody could refuse a direct order from God. That just doesn't seem to sort of make any sense, especially if the person was absolutely confident that it was God who was speaking to him and not some other a voice in the darkness. But we have Yonah, right, who ran away. But some of the Chazal say that his running away was a technical thing. In other words, he thought that perhaps prophecy didn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. Maybe he just wouldn't have to do it. He was trying to work for the benefit of Am Yisrael, Yonah, I mean. And Yonah, because he was working for Am Yisrael, ran away. He decided he didn't want to bring the prophecy to Nineveh because it would make us look bad if they did repent, if they did tshuva. So Yonah is a little bit different. It's not that Yonah didn't realize that it was a direct command from heaven or that God wanted it to be in a certain way. But it was rather that Yonah was looking out for the benefit of his people, which is, after all, the job of a Navi. I mean, he's the Navi to the people. So in this case, he was working for Am Yisrael in a kind of odd way, but working for Am Yisrael. So he wasn't... he didn't think that the shlichut was not real. He just thought that it was a denial of his original shlichut, which was to do something good for Bnei Yisrael. And that's the way Chazal see it. But in our story, Moshe Rabbeinu is rejecting right at the outset, when Moshe Rabbeinu meets up with God at the Sneh HaBoer, right in the burning bush. Right away, Moshe Rabbeinu is disagreeing. If you look at Perek Dalet, after Moshe Rabbeinu has explained what the charge is and what he's supposed to do, here in the Psukim, just Psukim, we'll go through them together. Vayan Moshe Vayomer, Vayan Lo Yaminu Li, Hey Lo Yaminu. I mean, the word Yaminu is, you have to remember it. It's an important word. Why should I lo yaminu li? Why not? Velo yishmu b'koli ki yomru lo nirei lecha Hashem. But what? What do they think, that Moshe Rabbeinu is a liar? That he came, so why is he doing this? I mean, why would anybody come to free the Jews from Egypt if he was not, in fact, an emissary of God? I mean, it's absolute madness. So, that's the first pasuk. Pasuk bet, v'yom eilav Hashem, ma zeh, v'yadecha v'yom ha-mateh. And he shows him the mateh, v'yom ha-shlicheyu arza, v'yishlicheyu arza v'yilinechash v'yinas Moshe v'yipanav. So the mateh, the staff, turned into a snake. And it frightened Moshe. It was so real that it frightened Moshe. Vayom Hashem, Moshe shalach yadcha v'choz biznavo, grab onto its tail, v'yishlach yado v'chazik bo, v'yeh l'mateh b'chapo. So it turned back into a staff. L'man yaminu, Hashem says. It's a miracle. You'll do this miracle and they will believe you. Ki nirei lecha Hashem elokei avotam, elokei Abraham, elokei Yitzchak, elokei Yaakov. Of course, man, this is not true. Because Moshe Rabbeinu did it, and they didn't believe it. Right? This whole thing is getting confused. How is it that God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu to say something in order that they should believe him, but they don't believe him? It seems something odd. Pasuk Vav Yom Hashem Lo Od Avei Leyadcha B'Chekecha Yavei Yado B'Cheko V'Yitziya B'Nei Yado B'Tzarat B'Shar Kashale. So then you have the second sign, which is he put his hand into his cloak and he took it out and he was a leprous. So here Chazal offer the distinction between the mateh that turned into a snake and the hand that became leprous, and say that after all, the mateh that turned into a snake, I mean, didn't affect Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't affected. But when his hand became leprous, so that affected him. He suffered from it. Why should there be such a sign? Why should there be a sign in which Moshe Rabbeinu himself has to suffer? Chazal ask. So the answer, it must have something to do with Lashon Hara. That Moshe Rabbeinu must have spoken Lashon Hara about Am Yisrael. Okay. That's what Chazal said. Pasuk Zayin, Vayom Eshev Yedcham Chekecha, Veshev Yedol Cheko, Veyosiyam Cheko, Vinei Shav Kibsaro. He put his hand in again and it came out natural. Vayayim Lo Yaminu Lecha, Velo Yishmu Lekol Ota Rishon. And so God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, if they don't pay attention to the first sign, they'll surely pay attention to the second sign. And you know that's the halacha. The Torah says in Dvarim that if a person comes and says, I'm a Navi, hi, someone actually came to me once and said that. And said, I'm a Navi. It was one of my most interesting days. So I asked him, how do you know that you're a Navi? He says, well, I have these prophetic dreams. You know, God is telling me to do this and to do that. So I said, and also there are signs. I have signs. I said, could you show me some of these signs? He took out a notebook in which he had recorded all of these signs that he had. They were like geometric patterns. He's like very sensible. Geometric patterns. I couldn't figure out whether he was like normal or abnormal. I couldn't figure it out from just looking at him. Of course, I was prejudiced, being brought up in the Western secular world. Anybody who talks about the spiritual revelation must be crazy. So I said, you're crazy. And that was the end of it. I don't know what I would say today. Maybe the same thing. But in any event, the Torah says there are two miracles that an aspiring prophet has to be able to do. And if he does two miracles, he might be a prophet. We're never sure. But we are sure of one thing. If the guy who's a prophet tells you to do something against the Torah, then he's out. Doesn't matter how many miracles he does. Doesn't matter how many wonders he's able to. So prophecy as a message came to an end with the Torah. You understand? The Rambam, when he talks about prophecy, he talks about a spiritual condition that people can aspire to. But that spiritual condition doesn't have to have a message. You don't have to come with a message to B'nai Yisrael to be a prophet. A prophet is the name of the person who achieves spiritual heights. That's what he's according to the Rambam. And also the Ramban, at a later date, says more or less the same thing. So that I say that prophecy came to an end with the Torah.
Tanakh or just Chumash?
No prophecy. Nevi'im.
Nevi'im.
There are no Nevi'im after Matan Torah.
Yoshua,
Shmuel, Yeshayahu. So I'll say it again. There are no prophets after Matan Torah. If you say that prophecy is a message, there's no message. Because it's all in the Torah. The only thing a prophet can say is, keep Shabbos. Okay. So he's a prophet. And he says, keep Shabbos, but you can't say that the message is something special. The message is known to everybody. Everybody knows that you're supposed to keep Shabbos. So a prophet is a person who has achieved a spiritual high. He's spiritually exalted. But he has nothing to say. He has really nothing to say. I know the Rambam says something a little different. But what I mean is that basically you don't expect, what do you expect? What is Yirmiyahu going to say? If you don't keep the Torah, there's going to be a terrible destruction. But that's not a new message. That's in the Chumash. In other words, the Chumash is the default position for all Jewish statements. There's nothing that the Navi can say that goes beyond or precedes the Chumash. So the prophet doesn't have a message. That's why learning Nevi'im is boring. You have to excuse me, those of you who find it interesting. But generally speaking, the prophet and the Nevi'im are boring because they don't say anything that we don't know already. It was it might be interesting to read the names in the books of the Nevi'im and try to figure out who's who. Okay, it's sometimes interesting books of Nevi'im to figure out where is everybody? Where are these places that are mentioned? And have Israeli archaeologists been there? Okay. But there's nothing in the books of the prophets that is different or added on to whatever is in the Chumash. That's one of the reasons why in yeshivot they didn't generally learn Tanakh. It's one of the reasons. There may have been other reasons, but that's one of the reasons that in yeshivot they didn't learn Tanakh. Because they knew it already. Now they may not have known all the words, and they may not have known all of the phrases, and they may not have known all the variations or the uses of words, you know, like modern day investigations. But they knew all the ideas. They knew that you're not allowed to be Mechal on Shabbos. They knew that. So what difference does it make if Yirmiyahu says don't be Mechal on Shabbos? I'm going to lose this discussion. It's okay. I'm willing to lose a few.
Does that apply to Midrash also?
Do what?
That there's nothing new added?
In Midrash?
Yeah.
Midrash there is. A lot of new things in Midrash. I mean, new ways of looking at things, new conversations that might have taken place. I'm talking about the hardcore information. In terms of hardcore information, the Midrash also doesn't necessarily teach us anything new, but it gives us ideas. Sometimes even the Nevi'im give us ideas. Sometimes. But it's not like, look at Yoshua. Yoshua is a very interesting book, the book of Yoshua. But after the pasuk says "Vagisa v'yom v'alayla," it sort of runs out of steam. That's like really something. Yom v'alayla, that's an exciting moment. So Yoshua, you know, he ran around here, ran out there, he captured this city, captured that city. Here's a list of all the kings that he beheaded. Well, I don't know. Those of you who think that's a message, maybe it is. I don't know.
The concept of Mashiach really isn't developed in the Torah, but it is in, Daniel.
Eeyore, if you mean Daniel. Yeah, Daniel's a good example. The main thing you could say about Daniel is that not only don't I know what it's talking about, but Daniel did know what it was talking about, which I think is remarkable. You know, there's a book in the Tanakh written by a person who didn't understand what he was saying. So once you figure that out, I'll reconsider my position. But I don't think that. I think Daniel is, you know when they learned Daniel? You know, studied in Beis Yaakov, they learned Daniel. Because it takes up a lot of time. You have to translate the Aramaic words into Hebrew. And then you have to read the Rashi. And when you finish with that, the Shir is over. So it's good. That's what I think. That's why they like Daniel. Anyway, there are two miracles that prove that you're a prophet. But no prophet can speak anything outside of the boundaries of Torah. And therefore I said that there is no prophecy. If you define prophecy as a message, the last prophet with a message was Moshe Rabbeinu. And his message was perfect. His message was perfect. And so this whole story here about Lo Yaminu then, and Ken Yaminu, a little pasuk tet, Vayam Lo Yaminu gam b'shnei otot, ha'elim lo yishmu nekol lechem lakach b'nei b'nei ya'or, v'shavarta yabasha v'ayamayim v'shet tikach b'nei ya'or, v'ayu l'dam v'yabashet. There's a third miracle, right? There's the matet, there's the yad, matet nachash, there's the yad ha'mitzora, then there's dam. Right? Then there's dam. Pasuk Yud Vayom Moshe Hashem B'Yadonai. Lo Ish Dvarim Anochi Gam Mitmol Gam Mishlshon Gam Bazda Bercha Labdecha Kikvat Perchlat Lashon Anochi. This is a total mystery. Lo Ish Dvarim Anochi. Of course he wasn't chosen because he was a reality MC. He was chosen because he was Moshe Rabbeinu, because he had special qualities. Was he arguing with God about why he was chosen? That he is a good speaker, he's not a good speaker. I mean, does this make any sense to you? To me, it makes no sense at all. How could Moshe Rabbeinu say that? Ki kvat pelchvat lashon anochi. And without Chazal explained that he actually, something happened to him, and he was unable to speak properly because there was a coal that fell into his mouth and singed his lip, his tongue, and therefore he couldn't speak. But we see at the continuation of Va'era Bo B'Shalach Yisrael Mishpatim, he talks all the time. Nobody ever mentions that he can't talk. When Moshe Rabbeinu for 38 years taught the people in the desert the Torah. Did somebody say, could you get somebody else to teach in your place? Can I say the word you say? No. Not that it's recorded in the Torah. So what exactly is Moshe Rabbeinu saying? Vayom Hashem elav misam pela adam miyesu meilei mochereisho bikecho iver. Alo anoch Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu defends, so to speak, himself. And says, what are you worried about? I'll replace, we have replacement parts. I'll replace your lashon, I'll replace your peh. I'll replace, you know, like what they do today. You know, what do they call that? Reconstructive surgery. Today they reconstruct anything. Any part of your body can be reconstructed, or at least almost. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu. Reconstructive surgery. Vayomer Hashem Elav Misam Per LaAdam. V'ata Lech Pasuk Yud Bet V'Anochi Keyem Picha V'Orei Ticha Asher Tidaber. Okay. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu's discussion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we don't understand. We don't understand exactly what the argument is about. You don't understand what the argument is about. At the end of the parasha, this is the parasha of Shmos. In the end of the parasha of Shmos, the next source on the sheet, Vayashel Moshe Hashem Vayomashe Adonai Lama Hare Ota Lama Zeh Shlachtani. That's really a tough one. Lama Hare Ota Lama. You remember Moshe Rabbeinu came and tried to tell Paro, we're on our way. And Paro made it more difficult for the slaves to do their work. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Lama Hare Ota Lama Zeh. Why did you make things bad for the people? Why did you send me? And Rashi says, understand Rashi? Rashi says, Im tomar, if you say, you Moshe Rabbeinu, Im tomar, I'm sorry, Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, Intomar, if you, God, would say, Mach bat lecha, it's none of your business. It's, things are better for them, worse for them. This is part of my master plan. So if that's the case, Kovel al ni al shishlachtani, I'm complaining that you sent me. Right? If I can't complain about why things are bad, in other words, I'm a leader. I'm somehow the intermediary between God and Bnei Yisrael. So I come to God and I say, why did you do this? So I figure I'm doing my job. I'm doing the job I'm supposed to do. I'm leading Bnei Yisrael, but I'm the emissary, God's emissary to Bnei Yisrael, which should mean that I could complain to God also if things don't work out well. So he says, Into ma machbat lecha. He says, it's none of your business. If you say to me that that's not my business, that's not what I was sent to do, that's not my charge, then kovel ani al sheshalachtani. So then I'm unhappy that you sent me, because I thought that I would be able to protect Bnei Israel, and now it seems that I can't. Okay. Pasuk Gimel, my Azbate Parol the Bebishmecha Ramaze, Vatzelo Itzalta et Amecha. So he calls God to task. He says, since I've come to save the people, things have only gotten worse. Vatzelo Itzalta et Amecha. You didn't save them. You didn't save the people. Rashi says, Hara. Lashon hifil hu harbe hirba ra'alehe. Itirgumo avish heira. He just tries to say it's the, for those of you who remember your stay in Ulpan, there's a verbal form called hifil, which usually means I do it actively to somebody else, right? Hilbish et atinok. He dressed the baby. Did it to the baby. That's hifil. So heira, l'shon hifilu. Hirba ra'alehem. It's as though Moshe Rabbeinu is accusing God of making things worse for them. It's God's fault, which is worse than just saying lama hariyota, lama zed, which could mean, why did you just let it happen? Why did you let this bad situation take place? Okay. Finally, we're up to our parasha. Parashat Vayira. Vayom Hashem u'Moshe. Atah tereh et asher aseh leparo. Ki b'yad chazakah lishalchem. U'b'yad chazakah yegashem yatzo. So there's an oblique answer to the question. The question is, why are things bad? And the answer is, they'll be good at the end. At the end, everything will be as it should be. Vayidaber Elokim al Moshe vayomer lav ani Hashem. Vayira al Abraham al Yitzchak al Yaakov bekel Shaddai. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. So this is like a theological review. It's something that God wants to say to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he starts off saying it in this way. I appear to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with the name Kel Shaddai. It's a name of a divine name. Ushmi Yudkei Vavkei. Lodadatilayim. Now I'm not interested in the fact that this doesn't even seem to be correct. That certainly the name Shindalayud was used at the beginning in Bereshit as well. But what exactly could it mean? What could it mean? So if you look in the at the Rashi, the Rashi to Pasuk Bet, it says Vayedaber Elokim. You see, Vayedaber Elokim. Elokim, as you know, is Din. The easy way to remember Bereshit Bara Elokim Et HaShemayim Et HaAretz. When God created the world, it was with Din, meaning that there were rules. And if you didn't keep the rules, you got zapped. There was no mercy. There was only mercy if you deserved mercy. But you didn't get mercy from Din. Now that setup apparently didn't work. It didn't work because in the second chapter of Bereshit, it mentions that the Bria was the result of the world, the work of Hashem Elokim. Hashem Elokim, Yudkei Vavkei, Elokim. Hashem is Rachamim. That the world did not work according to Din. I mean, it worked, but it would have been destroyed right away. So it had to be reestablished as a world of Din through Rachamim. Din through Rachamim. So now, you see, Vayidaber Elokim al Moshe Elokim Rashi. Diber ito mishpat al shiksha ledaber velomar lama hariota lama zeh. So Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu is getting his comeuppance here. That he's being put down by Hashem. Is it because he said, Lamayre ota lamaze? And you don't say that to God. That's not one of the options. But this is what Rashi says. He learns that from the word Elokim. Elokim means din. Din means that Moshe Rabbeinu did something wrong. And what he did wrong, according to Rashi, was saying, Lamayre ota lamaze. Right? Lomar, Lamariota, Lamazel. Vayome Eklav, the rest of the Pasuk. Vayome Lava, the Yudke Vavke. Rashi. Ne'man Lishalem Sechartov, Amitalchim Lefanai. In other words, Ani Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Zrachamim. So the Rachamim is, in spite of the din against Moshe Rabbeinu, B'nai Yisrael will still be treated mercifully. And the promise that God made to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov will be kept. Will be kept. Then Rashi says this, explaining the divine position. V'lo lechinam shelachticha. Ki im lekayem divarai shedivarti lavot harishonim. I didn't send you Moshe Rabbeinu for no reason at all. I didn't send you in order that things should get worse for Bnei Israel. I sent you in order to protect the promise that I made to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Ubelashon hazeh. Matzinu shehu nidrash bekama mekomot. He says, and this kind of phrasing is what we have found in different places of the Torah, in the place of the Torah. Ani Hashem ne'eman li para. Right? Ani Hashem ne'eman. The word ne'eman means faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to the promise. That's what we call in more modern kind of Hebrew, bitachon. We are certain. This is a quality of Am Yisrael, right? The stubbornness of Am Yisrael throughout history derives from the fact, to some extent, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like to say bombastic things, but they don't. You could take them with a grain of salt. Comes from the fact that we always thought we were going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So if you always think that you're going to go back to Eretz Yisrael, then circumstances that might wipe out other groups are not going to wipe us out because we're going back to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, we have like a goal. There's a purpose to our history. So that kept us alive. And even though not all the Jews in history were able to maintain that standard, many were. And so we continue to exist, which is pretty remarkable. So Zati Hashem Ne'eman Lipara. Kishu Omer. I'm sorry, let me clap Shidduchi and Kayin Debre. Right? Uvilashon Hazem Atzinu Shuv Nidrash. Bekama Mekomot Ani Hashem Ne'eman Lipara. That's what it says, Ani Hashem. The drasha, the way Chazal read it is, Ne'eman Lipara. I'm faithful to do as I promised. That's what Ani Hashem means. Kishehu Omer is an onesh, and where it is in these kind of psukim that refer to punishment. Kigon, Chilat Hashem Elokecha Ani Hashem. You're talking about someone who defiles the Beit Hamikdash. Kishehu Omer is on kiyum mitzvot. So Ani Hashem, those words Ani Hashem, according to Rashi, are properly translated as a phrase. It's like a truncated phrase. The phrase is Ani Hashem Ne'eman Li. That's what the phrase is. Even though in the Pasuk, all it says is Ani Hashem. And the Hashem is like, you know, it's only part of a statement. There's something missing. And according to Rashi, what's missing is always missing in this kind of a phrase. Okay, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Pasuk Hey, V'gam ani shamati et bakat b'nei Yisrael, Hashem Yitzrayim avidim otam, v'eskoret briti v'gam ani. And so he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you worried about? I sent you because I remembered that that time had come, that I had to fulfill the covenant. Right? לכן לאלוהים וידעת כי אני השם אלוקיך מוציא אתכם מתחת סבלות מצרים והבאתי אתכם אל הארץ אשר נשאתי את ידי לתת אותה לאברהם ליצחק ויעקב ונתתי אותה לכם מורשה אני השם. So this is the famous, you know, the ארבע כוסות on Pesach are somehow connected to these פסוקים. והוצאתי והצלתי ולוקחתי ולעלתי the fifth dose. Veveti, fifth coast that people want to deny today. We'd rather stick with Trump than Veveti. Too bad. And the Hashem, by the Be'er Moshe Kenu B'nei Yisrael Lo Shamro Moshe Mikotzer Ruach Me'avodah Kasha. Okay, let's look at the Rashi. Mikotzer ruach. Kotzer ruach means they were tired. Avodah Kasha, they were hard work. Lo Shamu, Lo Shamu El Moshe. You see, Pasuk Tet, look again, by the Ben Moshe Kain of B'nai Yisrael. So Moshe now had a message, an enhanced message. The message wasn't just, let my people go, right, which didn't work, apparently, first time around. He went to Paro. He said, let my people go. And Paro was not impressed, and he was sitting on a chair, on an elevated chair. And Moshe Rabbeinu was standing on the ground. So how could Paro be impressed? So he said, forget about it. And you're annoying me. And so we will double the quantity of bricks, but keep the straw the same, so you'll have to go and get more straw on your own. That's what happened. So yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu felt he was a failure. So he turned to God and he said, how did you let this happen? How did you let this happen? So insightful of so then God gave him a longer, more detailed message to bring back to B'nai Israel. And that longer, more detailed message was a promise, and there's a past, and there's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes that promise has to be fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled, and you will leave Mitzrayim, and you'll it's expanded. It's much more than let my people go. It's more than that. And yet, as a result of that big speech, if you look at the Rashi in Pasuk Tet, they didn't accept his consolation. He's like, no, you're working hard. Things are tough, but it's going to be good. And they said, well, we'd rather it was good than it's going to be good. I mean, like, you know, anybody can say that. Mikotzer ruach, kol mishum mitzar rucho, el nishimato ktzara v'enocho larich v'nishimato. So Rashi said, this phrase, kotzer ruach, comes from a reality that people who work hard and are tired, you know, they become breathless, or it's difficult for them to breathe. That's what Rashi says. Karov le'inyan zeh, shamati parashasot mirabi baruch, rabbi Eliezer, one of the Balei HaTosafot. You know that Rashi did not work alone on this great project that he undertook to write a commentary, all of Shas and all of the Tanakh. But he didn't work at all alone. I mean, he had students, and he had Rebbeim, and he had apparently a wonderful memory. But he had people working with him, so he sometimes writes who he heard from. And this is Rabbi Baruch, Rabbi Lozov, Evili Raya, Mimi Kraze, Ibam Azot Odiyem, Et Yadiv, Et Gvurati, V'yedu Ki, Shmi Hashem, L'man Yushakarish Baruch Hu, Amen Et Varav. Rashi loves that word, right? Amen, Emunah. It's to verify and to make sure that everybody understands that God keeps the promise. That's what it's all about. Amen Et Varav. Afilu Mepuranut Modia Shishma Hashem, even to do something terrible, to punish, he announces that his name is Hashem. Because again, Ha'emana Litova, certainly for good things. Ve Rabotenu Darshu Linyan Shomala. Here's the important addition of Rashi, that this somehow goes back to the beginning, Shema Moshe. Lama Ariota. Moshe said to God, why did you make things so bad? Remember the pasuk at the end of Parakeh, which we learned. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chaval al davdin v'lo mishtachim. Oy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, oy, I'm thinking about those who are God, but are not forgotten. Yesh li vitonein al mitat avot. I can complain about the death of the fathers. Arbe pamim negleiti aleihem bekel shaddai. Lo amru li mashmecha. And I appeared to them many times. I promised them many things. They never complained. They never said, who are you? What are you? They accepted it. But Amarta, Le'el Paragimel, it's not on the sheet. But you remember the pasuk Mashmo, Ma'amar Aleihem. And so the ultimate kind of accusation against Moshe Rabbeinu was about to be made in his commitment, bearing him to the Avot, to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'gam ha'kimoti, she'bikesh Abraham l'kvor et Sarah v'lo v'tzakeva, ad she'kana b'damim l'rubim. Remember, Abraham wanted to bury Sarah. He didn't have any place to bury her. What do you mean, they had a place to bury her? God told Abraham Avinu that Eretz Yisrael belongs to him. It's his. So if it's his, how come he can't bury her? So he knew that the forces that existed wouldn't allow it, so he went to the B'nai Chait in Hebron, and he bought Achuzat Kever. He bought a place to bury his wife. But he never said that the divine promise has not been kept, that I don't own Eretz Yisrael. V'chein b'Yitzchak, Ir Aru Alam Ala Beirot HaShechafar. Yitzchak had trouble with the wells that he dug. They came to him, the Philistines, and said, those are our wells. They're not your wells. V'chein b'Yaakov, V'yiken et Chelkat HaSadeh, L'Toto Alo. And he got to Sukkot. And he bought a piece of land in order to put up his tent. And they never said the avot. They never said there's something wrong with the divine promise. There's something cockeyed here. I have to buy a land in the land that I own. That's odd. That's very odd. It's not a bad lesson for today either. Chemi Yitzchak, Chemi Yaakov, Velo Hir Ruach Remi Dotai, Vata Amarta, Lama Hariota. And you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are coming to evaluate my action in history, how God is working it out. Ve'ena Medrash Midot. Okay, we'll stop here, even though the rest of the Rashi is also important. But I just want to make sure that we understand. And according to Rashi, the Moshe Rabbeinu did not seem to have sufficient faith. And so he calls into question the promise, to which God answers, I know the promise, and I'll keep the promise, and there's no doubt about the promise. And Chaval al da'avdin lo mishtakhim. I remember the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov would never have done what you did and never have said what you said. And so it leaves me a little unhappy with the kind of answer. So in order to understand all of this stuff and a little bit more, which we have not brought to bear, I want to give you two interpretations. I'll give you my interpretation, and then I'll tell you Rav Nosson's interpretation. I'll give you my interpretation first, because if I don't, we won't get to it. This way, we will get to it. You could ask, what we need Moshe Rabbeinu for? What is Moshe Rabbeinu for? If you needed somebody to go to B'nai Israel and say, look, back up, fill your knapsacks. Don't take too much. We're going to be in the desert. You'll eat miraculously. You'll drink miraculously. Your clothing will never wear out. Don't take anything. Just take a regular knapsack. And we'll go. When I tell you to go, we'll go. Now that job could be done by anybody. I suppose you have to be a little more than nobody. But it's not the kind of, for example, Aaron HaKohen. He could have done that job. And to a certain extent, he did do that job. What exactly was Moshe Rabbeinu's position in Yitziat Mitzrayim? Okay, he did a few miracles, but he didn't do them. God did them. Anybody could have waved the staff as long as God was going to allow him to perform a miracle. So it seems to me that Moshe Rabbeinu, the issue of Moshe Rabbeinu was and always will remain the ne'emanut that Moshe Rabbeinu had to generate in order to be believed that the Torah that he is teaching is really the Torah. Because, after all, when Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, he went into the Ohel Moed, learned another chapter, came out, and he taught it to Bnei Yisrael. Now, how did they know that he wasn't fooling them? How did he know that Moshe Rabbeinu was not making it up as he went along? In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu had to achieve a level of ne'emanut which was akin to the level of ne'emanut that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to have in history. Just like Bnei Yisrael had to get to the point where they understood that if God promised, it would be. They had to get to the point where they understood that if Moshe Rabbeinu says this is the Torah, then this is the Torah. So that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who brought this thinking into the world. The thinking that there is ne'emanut, that even when you don't have a specific proof, it will still be true. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Bnei Yisrael that they would get Eretz Yisrael, and the Avot believed that, so too, eventually Moshe Rabbeinu, God would promise Bnei Yisrael the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu. So that this is a theme which I think responds to a lot of the questions that we asked as we were learning, because we were learning the Pesukim. Moshe Rabbeinu is not about leadership in the conventional sense. He's not about getting them out of Mitzrayim. I mean, anybody could do that. He's not about talking to Paro. Aaron could do that very well. He is about creating this idea that God has, if God promises, it will be. And so when the Jews were at Har Sinai, they received a little bit of the Torah. A little bit. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, lo yelecha, a little bit of Torah. And the promise that God made that the rest of the Torah would be given to them through Moshe Rabbeinu. And they were ready to accept that. They were ready to accept that idea that the Torah would be given to them through Moshe Rabbeinu, so that what Moshe Rabbeinu was in charge of, what Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching them, was that when God says something, it will be, even if at a later date it might seem that it didn't happen or hasn't happened yet. So that's what I think. That's what I think, generally speaking, is the pshat. Now, if we look at page 2, you see the Kuvli Alachot. The Chot Yehudit Siman He. You know that this is a book in which Rav Nachman, Rav Nosson, sort of applies the teachings of Rav Nachman of Breslov to the Shulchan Aruch. It's a very remarkable work. Very remarkable work. Very difficult to access. Because how would anybody know that it's an Ilchot Ribit? I mean, unless you really knew it all about that. But today, the Bratzlers, because they're like all of a sudden filled with energy, put out a Chumash with the Perush of Rav Nosson. In other words, they quote the relevant sections. So it's kind of a shortcut. Not kind of a shortcut. It's the only possibility. How else could you ever get anywhere? So it's very good. I mean, if you're interested in that kind of thing. So it says in the second line, Kol ha-vikuchim bein Hashem yitbarach u'bein Moshe Rabbeinu v'yan shlichuto b'gol Yisrael. All of the arguments that Moshe Rabbeinu had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about him being sent to redeem Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, I don't want to go. Hashem yitbarach ekpid alav. Says, God actually forced Moshe Rabbeinu to do this. It's all about truth. Even tzaddikim means people not quite on the level of Rav Nachman. There were other tzaddikim, but they had difficulty. Rak kol tzaddik v'tzaddik mivarer ha'emet kifi yigiyato v'tachom. Avonotai, every tzaddik gets to the truth in as far as he is able. Kol yimei chayav, yesh l'chol pam nisyonot, and there are always trials that beset him. Ki bechreach shielo bechira kol yimei chayav. He says he certainly has free will all his life. Ve'ikara bechira hu binyan beirura emet lamito. That's the bechira. He can choose to discover the truth, the real truth. The truth, of course, is synonymous with Torah. What the Torah really means, what the Torah really wants, what God really wants. I mean, that all that is emet. Okay. Afilu Moshe Rabbeinu yamim ha'elelech b'shlichut Hashem yitbarach v'kol machmat ribui ha'or shelo. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go because of this a tremendous amount of light that he had. Ki b'kdushat chochmato yada emet. He knew, Moshe Rabbeinu, that he would not be able to produce the product that he wanted to produce, that he would not be able to save them completely. And he wasn't. After what happened at Har Sinai, they went and they built the golden calf. In other words, forever and ever they were. This is what Rav Nachman means to say. She says elsewhere. He says, what do you mean they made the golden calf? Whatever the sin of the golden calf was, it produced an ongoing blemish in the soul of Am Yisrael. This is what the Pasuk says. Never forgotten. The chait of the golden calf that forgot, so that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be able to bring them out of Mitzrayim and get them to the level, get them, Bnei Yisrael, to the level where they will really be. Bnei Yisrael, will there be a reflection of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? I'm not going to be able to do that. So he says, Ki ra'ash sofa lachto. He saw in his mind's eye that they would deny divine authority again and again, and they would deny the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu again and again, so that Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Rav Nosson, his job was to get them to achieve some sort of perfection, ideological perfection, which Moshe Rabbeinu understood, but he also understood that he wouldn't succeed in the job. And since he wouldn't succeed in the job, he was not able to succeed in that job. He begged God to let him off the hook. He didn't want to be responsible for a job poorly done. And so, again, at the end of line 9, the Kemosha Yabemet Kane, Kemosha Katuvi, and Asu Otis, Esapamim, that's what the Chumash says. They tested me, God says. They made it difficult. And therefore he wanted to exit this opportunity. He connected it somehow to his humility. So then Moshe Rabbeinu, because of his humility, was certain that he would not be able to do the job properly, that he would not succeed in bringing Bnei Yisrael to the level that they should be on in order to stand before Har Sinai to receive the Torah. And then after that, having received the Torah, to act in accordance with that receiving of the Torah. So this is the position of Rav Nosson. This is the position of Nosson. There's a certain kind of correlation, maybe, in the thinking. What I said was that Moshe Rabbeinu. Actually, I'm kind of overwhelmed by Rav Nosson. Let's summarize Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson says that Moshe Rabbeinu understood that he was an emissary. But what does it mean to be an emissary of God? You have to succeed. And if you don't succeed, you're not an emissary. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in his mind's eye, saw that he was not going to succeed. So he said, let me off the hook, he said to God. He says, because in any event, I'm off the hook. In any event, I'm not your shaliach. Because it doesn't make sense to say that your shaliach is going to fail in what he is doing. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, no, that bechira chofshit, the free will choice, continues to exist. And therefore, you have to do the job. But you have to remember that Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov successfully navigated life to a kind of perfection. They just didn't do anything wrong. And so we have to remember that. That's the perfection that we're connected to somehow. And that's the essence of prayer. I stand before God because I recognize Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, without which I wouldn't be able to daven. Because I'm not worthy. I mean, it's easy enough not to be worthy. It's hard to stand before God. Okay. Good job.